outside of our familiar zone, and he's no stranger to our church. Paul Whitley, we've been partnered together in with him and his ministry, Invading the Darkness, him and Karen, his wife, for probably a good 11 years or so. And so if we could today, let's thank God for his gift of grace. Brother Paul Whitley.
I love this slide. It reminds me of the 7 years we lived in Poland, and it started snowing somewhere around November and finished up sometime around June. Sometimes we could see the ground, and a lot of times we couldn't, but it was just a Georgia boy coming from Atlanta, where we don't have very much snow. We had snow, I think, last week for 2 hours, and then it melted off, and it was all gone. And so that just reminds me a lot of a time and place where the Lord had us, and we spent a lot of time. Love the people more than the snow. Amen. But they wouldn't go away. I appreciate the opportunity to come and to be with this congregation. You always mean a lot to me. I don't come with my wife because that's 2 airplane tickets, and we just use that money to go to Bolivia, which we'll be doing next month for about a month. So she sends her greetings. She is occupied this weekend with her 97-year-old mother, who the doctors gave up, wanted to put her in hospice about 10 years ago, and she's almost outlived all of them and is doing well, and we just praise God for that. I tell you what, when you can live 97 years after raising 8 daughters, that's a miracle. She probably wouldn't have lived past 50 if she had a son in there, but you know how that is. We had 8 in my family as well. I'm the oldest and the meanest and the best looking. So other than that, I don't brag about it, but it is true, a testimony to the grace of God. I am the only male in my family that has not spent any nights in jail. Even my father, who was a pastor, would spend every Saturday night in jail and then come and preach on Sunday because he was part-time deputy in charge of the jail. So we used to have a lot of fun with that. I'd like to take an opportunity to share with you this morning about some really great things that God has been doing in the ministry of Invading the Darkness, which we started 32 years ago, and God is still going strong. I'd like to share a few verses of scripture with you, if I may, by way of introduction. I'd like to begin in Acts chapter 13 with the commissioning of Paul and Barnabas. In chapter 13 of Acts, it begins in the first verse. Now, there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. This time he was still known as Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus and just continued to move around that area of the world. I think we would probably all agree that Jesus was the most famous missionary who left his place in the world or in heaven and came to the world so that we could be saved, to be reconciled to the Father. And I think we would probably all agree that the next missionary in prominence was the Apostle Paul. I know his life has been a lot to me. My name's Paul, too, and I just have to tell people I'm the other apostle, not the first one. But we see here that he was called by the Holy Spirit, and the church agreed with that and prayed over them and sent them out. And then in chapter 14, after a year or the first missionary journey to what today we know as Turkey. In those days, that entire peninsula was known as Asia. And they had gone to all these different towns and planted churches and evangelized. And so here we see in chapter 14, verse 26, and from there, Asia, they sail to Antioch, from which they had been sent, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a long time with the disciples. And in another place, I couldn't find it quick enough, it says that they brought great joy to the church and praise to the Lord because of what the Lord had accomplished with them as they went about their missionary work. And then I'd like to read one last passage of Scripture in chapter 19 of Acts, after it talks about things that happened on the third missionary journey. In verse 8, it says, and he entered, meaning Paul, he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus, a 3-month Bible school, if you will. And it says, this took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now, whether we take that literally or not, meaning every single individual on that entire peninsula we know today as Turkey heard the word of the Lord, or we just say, well, that was a way of saying that the word just spread everywhere, it doesn't really matter. The idea that it happened, whether it be either one of those, is amazing to me. And I know that Paul himself did not travel to all those places. He taught men, and I think women as well, and they took the word. Now, wouldn't it be great if somewhere in the future somebody was reading in the annals of history and they said that this church in this little town called Mexico, Missouri, they studied and proclaimed the word of God so that everybody in Missouri heard the word of God. And we think, don't think that will happen. But I want you to know that there's a very distinct possibility that it could happen. And it's not going to happen by this man you call pastor standing up here and preaching, and then all throughout the week he travels to other places in the state. No, it happens because he stands up here and preaches. We listen, we heed, we're obedient, and we take the word of God to our sphere of influence. And we touch lives that they in turn take what we have taught them to their sphere of influence. And it wouldn't take long if we did that before the whole world would hear the word of God. Amen? Amen. So in a lot of churches I go to, over the back door, there will be a sign, you are now entering the mission field. And if you took the word missionary and tried to define it, you would probably think of it as being someone who goes somewhere else and preaches or teaches or heals or serves the Lord in a foreign country. But keep in mind that to most of the world, the United States is a foreign country. And so therefore, we are a mission field. Amen. And you don't have to go to another country anymore to find people of a different culture and a different language and of a different faith. So we can all be about the Father's business vis-a-vis missionary work right where we live. with Karen and I, it looked a little differently maybe than it has for most of you. Maybe in this gathering there are some people who have served as missionaries on the foreign field. But we all should consider ourselves missionaries to some degree. With Karen and I, it started with me leaving public education, going into Christian education, in the beginning short-term mission trips. The first trip I took was to Haiti. I was there for 7 days, and while I was there, I got to preach the gospel to some people who were a lot different than I was in many, many different ways. And then I came home, and I continued the carpentry business that I had and being a principal of a Christian school, and I was later called to Mexico. And I went there, and we built churches way out in the villages, and we saw God do a lot of things. We saw buildings erected, but we also saw the church erected and grow strong. We saw many healings and many miracles. And after that, the Lord led me over to an organization, and I led their short-term mission program for a couple of years. And during that time, we smuggled Bibles into China. We spent time in Central America. I was in a lot of churches, put together teams and inspiring and challenging churches to be about the Father's business as far as missionaries are concerned. But we really had a desire to go to Europe, not to see Paris or England, London and those places. We wanted to go behind the Iron Curtain. For you younger people, that was a delineation in the form of a wall between the East and the West, between communism and democracy. That's what we called it back then. You may know it more as the Berlin Wall, which only extended in Berlin. After that, it went through Czechoslovakia and down around Hungary and Romania and Bulgaria and those places. In fact, I was cleaning out my basement the other day, and my brother was helping me, and I picked up a roll of barbed wire. And I said, "You know what that is, Robert?" He said, "No." I said, "That is part of the Iron Curtain." I said, "And you see this concrete right here? This came from the Iron Curtain between East Germany and West Germany." And one time when I was there, some young people, I said, "I want to see the Iron Curtain." They said, "The what?" I said, "The Iron Curtain. I'd like to see the Iron Curtain." "Well, we don't know what that is because they call it the limit." And once they finally understood what I meant, we went way out into the forest there around East Germany, Czechoslovakia, and they showed me where this 100-yard, I think about 100-yard wide swath just cut through the countryside. And one time there was a concrete pylons every so far along each side of it that in essence said to the people, "Do not go past this point." And from that point to the middle of that line were mines. Landmines, so you never knew if you walked out in that area where you might lose your life. And then, of course, there were guard towers about every 100 yards. It was a dangerous place to be. And I never knew if there was maybe a landmine that was still there or not, so I decided to stay off of it. Asked some of the young people, "Could you go?" No, I didn't do that. But I still have that. For many years, while we were working in that area of the world, I would break off a piece of that barbed wire and give it to a pastor as a gift and say, "Please remember to pray for us. This is the area where we represent Jesus Christ." And then I began to work in Romania, and we started a small Bible training center there. And while we were in the midst of doing that, the Lord spoke to me to go to Russia. And we began doing leadership training institutes in the old Soviet Union, primarily Russia. We spent a good bit of time in Siberia. We had a lot of people coming to our institutes, which were four-day conferences, you might say, where I would take people in leadership positions here, like pastors, worship leaders, youth leaders, evangelists, and we would have a four-day conference, seminar, institute, whatever you want to call it, where pastors would teach pastors, worship leaders, youth leaders. And we had people in those offices coming from all over Russia, and many of them were coming from Ukraine. And so I began to think, well, instead of them coming all the way to Moscow and to St. Petersburg and to Siberia, why don't we go to Ukraine and hold them there as well? And over about a 2 to 3 year period of time, we held 18 of those. And then the Lord began to use us to teach on setting up home groups and cell groups. And that led into marriage conferences. And it just exploded. And so we were very involved in that part of the world for 15 years, 7 of which were spent living in Poland and Krakow. And while we were there, the Lord had us open up our home. We had a new home. It was a rental home. But we looked for a place where we could house people in full-time ministry in our home, pastors, evangelists, missionaries, people from other countries, and they would come. It was kind of what we would know as a Christian bed and breakfast. And we would entertain them in our home for 4 nights, no children. We wanted them to get away and just to be with the Lord and enjoy each other, because we were doing a lot of marriage work at that time. And so we did that for 4 years of that 3 years. And during that time, we had a lot of great experiences. We spent a lot of time just sitting around the fire, talking and sharing with each other and counseling. And out of that became a period in my life that still continues of fatherhood, of spiritual fatherhood, because many of those pastors needed someone that they could sit with, and like a Apostle Paul, they could help them through some difficult times. So I was dad and Karen was mom, and that still exists today. And from there, the Lord brought us home. We didn't really want to come back to the United States, but the Lord was very clear in his instruction that he wanted us back here. And so we moved back. We had rented our home, and that time was up. And so we were able to come back and move right into our home that I built back in 1978. And within a month of our returning home, not having any idea what God was going to do with us, the opportunity was presented to me to be the director of mission for a fellowship of churches about 300 strong, and I began to serve in that capacity gratis, which means they didn't pay me anything. They still don't 10 years later. They helped me with my trips where they send me and things like that, but our vision with Invading the Darkness and them was so in sync with each other that we just continued what we were doing, and it's worked out great. Within 6 months of returning home, I found myself in the jungles of Peru, where we worked for 5 years, and this whole thing of spiritual fatherhood continued, and we worked there, and we still have many people there write to us and call us mom or dad. And then the Lord closed that door and opened a new door in Bolivia. And in Bolivia is where we've been working now for, I just finished a 5-year visa. I'm now on a 10-year visa. And we no longer are called mom and dad in Bolivia. I guess maybe it could be my age, I'm not sure. But now they call us abuelo. An abuela, which means grandfather and grandmother. And we wear that title proudly. You know, we feel like we've lived long enough. We deserve that. But it's a term of endearment. And we just relish being able to be in that capacity. I can go down there and I don't have to worry about preaching. I don't worry about teaching. I don't worry about going out in evangelism. When I show up, God's already got everything prepared for us. And we spend a lot of time just sitting with old people and young people alike. I work in a denomination that the head of the denomination is older than I am, and he calls me abuelo. And I thought, something's wrong with this picture. I don't know what it is. But we really enjoy our time there. And that's what we're doing now, is working primarily in Bolivia with a pastor called Elias Farfan. Elias is in his 40s, married, has 2 beautiful daughters, pastors of a church of about 500, oversees 16 churches, and is planning more churches even as we speak. In fact, on the 16th, Karen and I both fly down to Bolivia for a month, and we'll be visiting a lot of those churches. We'll be doing evangelism in some areas where they're wanting to plant churches. In fact, there is a young man, and this is 5 hours from Perea, where we were, a city of about 170 to 200,000 people. And we are going 5 hours away from that, up into the mountains, deep mountains, where you can go for a long time and not see any sign of civilization. And there is a Mennonite community there of born-again, Spirit-filled believers. Now, the Spirit-filled part has come recently when we were down there and we wanted to go visit the family that introduced us to this area of a mom and dad and 11 children. And then we got there and found out that she had had another one, so there's 12 children now. And we had the great privilege and honor and joy of being able to take to them their very first washing machine. Now, that may not sound like much to you, but you got 12 children. You got a lot of dirty clothes. And they just got electricity less than a year ago. So they've been washing all those clothes by hand all these years. And we didn't tell them we were coming. We didn't tell them we were bringing a washing machine. And we just showed up and got the mom out with her little newborn baby and said, come here, we want to show you something. We took her out to the van and opened the door, and there it was. And she was, seriously, she was speechless. She had no idea what to say. I think she was more pleased that we had brought a lot of diapers, you know, and because they couldn't afford those. And we were buying food and things at the market to take with us and milk and everything we could find. And all of a sudden, I saw some diapers. I said, hey, let's take them some diapers. I'm sure she would appreciate that. And we just love that family. And while we were there, she had other guests that had just kind of showed up from another part of the country. And she was afraid she wasn't going to have enough food. And here the Lord graciously brought us in with extra food. And it was just a miracle happening all the way around. But that night, they asked me, would I preach? They have just a very small fellowship, 12 plus, about six or seven. But in that meeting was a man named Isaac, who was a friend of the family, lived across, I don't know where to call it, a creek or a river. It's about as wide as from here to the back of the building. And the only way to get to the other side is to wade across. And so we waded across and went and visited him and his family. And he had taken on the pastoral responsibilities for that small group. And in the meeting, they had asked me, would I speak on the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I didn't realize, for the most part, they were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And as I began to speak and to elaborate on the scriptures concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit, about six people outside that family came forward and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. After that, Isaac received the call to begin planting churches in that mountainous area. And I have the privilege of being able to go next month and spend time with him visiting those different places. Maybe I'll do some preaching. Maybe I'll just pray and let him do it. It's easier for him to do it because my preaching in Spanish isn't anything to write home about, if you know what I mean. And I'm excited about that because now he won't just be evangelizing and getting people saved. He'll be getting them saved and getting them filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm excited about what that's going to look like. When we begin to see isolated villages that's never heard the gospel before begin to have churches and begin to see miracles happen in their lives. And that's really exciting to me. And you have a part in that because you are a supporting church. We're also excited because Pastor Elias' wife, Milka, has a vision and has a burden for young mothers, married and not married, to have a place to put their children, a daycare center, so that they can earn a living. Because a lot of the people there get married, have children out of wedlock, and they're not able to support their family. And so they have started it. They have already up, I think by now they've got like 50 kids. And they just started it in August. We gave the first $500 seed gift to them to be able to start it. And so now that's going strong, and we're excited about that. The government official that God had put us with has now become the mayor, and he's asked Pastor Liz to meet with him on a regular basis to help him understand how he can reach his people in the city, and how marriages can be made stronger, and how the economy can get better. And Pastor Liz has an in that government, and the reason why is because about 2 or 3 years ago, the government asked Karen and I to come and do a marriage conference for the city. And we held this event, and then they asked us, could we go teach on family in the schools, believe that or not. And we went into those schools, and then they had us going into the military facilities and the police academy. And God has just opened myriad doors for us in this city of about 200,000 people with an invitation to take what we are preaching to them into every school in their state, which I can't do, just like you can't reach all of Missouri. So what we've done is we've gone in and begun to train young people in the church to do what we've been doing, and we've always taken them with us. We've introduced them to the powers that be, and now they are recognized by the government. And one young man, his wife, who at that time had no children, now they have a little child, makes it a little more difficult. But they, last year, they went into the schools in the city and had over 3,000 decisions for Christ. And so we're hoping that he will continue that in training others and raising up others that will go and do that. And see, that's how the gospel went into all of Asia, was doing the kinds of things that we're doing. And we're just very excited about that, about what God is doing. I'd like for you to be praying for us, especially for Thursday. I leave by myself to go to Panama, the country of Panama, where I'll be meeting with 30-year veteran missionaries who've been carrying the gospel throughout the Darien jungle, the densest jungle in this hemisphere. And we'll be spending time with them, getting to know them better, doing some ministry, and finding out how our organization can better help them. So God is expanding it even as I speak. But there's a new disease, you may have heard of it. It's called Zika, Z-I-K-A. It's a mosquito-borne disease that there's no cure for it at this point. They don't know very much about it. It's very dangerous, and it's there where I'm going, both in Panama and in Bolivia. So would you be praying? Put something up on your refrigerator door, your mirror in the bathroom. Pray for Paul and Karen. Pray against Zika, Z-I-K-A, because I don't want to go down and get sick. You know? So pray that I won't get sick. The mosquitoes won't even bite me. I hate mosquito bites. But also, there's 42 different species of poisonous snakes in the area where we'll be going. And if I hate something more than mosquitoes, it's spiders and snakes. So please pray for me. I don't want any more snake testimonies. I've got one, and that's the only one I want. I didn't want it. God gave it to me, so I got it now. So anyway, I got involved in Bolivia because there was an opportunity to go and do some teaching and some conferences. And in doing that, I met this man named Isak. Isak is Brazilian missionary to Bolivia. And a wonderful man, wonderful family. And he had a heart and a desire to help equip pastors. Because you see, in these areas, outlying areas in the bush, a pastor, has to work. He doesn't have a congregation that can support him, so he doesn't have to be bivocational. And these men work the land. They can't just pick up and go to the city and go to Bible school for 2 years or 4 years or 1 year or even a few months. And so he had an idea of taking Bible school to them. And I heard about that and got to know him, and I said, I want to be involved in that. So what we would do is we would actually, as a team of doctors and nurses and chiropractors and pastors, we would go into an area in the bush, and they would come for 4 days. And while they were there, we would teach them and minister to them and provide clothing for them and medical treatment, dental work. And I just loved it. It was bringing something to them they needed so they could continue their work. And in doing that, he said, you know, there's this town called Torija. I've never been there before, but they want us to come and do that. And would you like to come? I said, yeah, me. I'm there. I'm ready to go. I had heard about Torija, that it was the cleanest city in the nation. It was called the City of Smiles, and it was the friendliest city. And I had taught some students from there at one of our conferences, and I said, I want to go. So I went there. Karen wasn't with me that time, and I went down and got to meet Pastor Elias there. And I didn't know who he was. Come to find out, he was the head of the Ministerial Association, over 40 churches involved. I got to meet him and know who he was because our first meal together, planning this conference, I just spoke up and I said, does anybody here speak English? And he raised his hand. He said, well, I speak a little bit. He had worked for 7 years with Youth with a Mission, so he could speak a lot of English. The only thing is that his family says, you know, he can never translate for anybody. He just doesn't know it that well. But with you, it's like he's known you all his life. And that's the way it is. In fact, other people come with me, he can't translate for them. He said, I don't understand what they're saying. Now, if you can understand this old boy's Southern English, that's a miracle. That's a gift. And that's what started our relationship. And it continues today, 5 years later, and we're just having a great time. He got to come to the States back in November, stayed a month here, took him around, introduced him to pastors. He got to preach some. We took him, I don't know if y'all are familiar with a little town in Tennessee called Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge. It's a tourist area. We took him there, and oh, he just loved it. He loves Golden Corral. Y'all know what Golden Corral is, huh? Ryan's Golden Corral. He just loves those kind of places. He's a full gospel, if you know what I mean. So we had a good time, and at the end, was able to present him with a $3,000 check. Since then, we've given him some more money. He's raising money to buy an automobile. Because he needs one desperately going out to these 16 villages. So be praying with us because that's some of the things we're doing. But we also are working in other places, and Togo, Africa is one of those places. And I don't know if you get our newsletter, but if you don't, if you give me your name and your email address, it's all right, Pastor. If you'll give me that before I leave, I'll put you on our mailing list. We'd like to invite you to come be part of one of our teams in July. If you want to know more about that, talk to me after the service. But in Togo, there's a man there who actually communicated with me first via the internet. And when I was going to Ghana and I was going to Liberia, which is West Africa, and I thought, well, I might as well meet this man too. His name is Pastor Mawusi. He's in his 50s. He's a true apostle of the Lord. And he came to the United States. He studied, went back to his nation, didn't go to the cities, went to the bush. And he's now raised up 25 churches in just probably less than 10 years. And I've known him about 5 years, I guess, of that time. And Pastor Mawusi has had a very difficult time. His brother died. He's raising his kids. He has six or seven of his own. He's lost several of those to malaria. He lost one of his daughters just this past year to a poisonous snake bite. He himself almost died of a poisonous snake bite. His wife almost died last January. After I left here, I guess it was maybe February, she contracted smallpox and almost died. And I'd like to read, let's see if I can find it. I'd like to read, if I can see the small print, something I wrote right after I was with you last year to just kind of give you an idea of what's going on. Victory Christian Fellowship has been a supporting church for many years, but it has been a few years since we visited. That was when I was with you last year. This January, this was written in February, I flew to St. Louis, then drove to Mexico. Pastor Ron Case has a wonderful church in this small town, and they listened as I shared about both the work in Bolivia as well as in Togo, West Africa. When I had finished, Pastor Ron handed me a large check and told me to spend it any way I wanted. I love those offerings. My first thought was that new tractor I had been wanting, but I knew that was not his intention. He wanted me to use the funds to bless someone with whom we worked. I didn't have long to wait before I knew exactly where the fund should go, Togo. In just less than a week, I received a text message from Pastor Moisi about a container that had been sent from the States containing medicines, building supplies, and clothes. The problem was that it was being held up by customs, and it would cost almost $1,800 to get it released and transported to his location. Karen and I prayed about this dilemma, but we didn't have to pray long before we were wiring the money. Now, poor Togolese will have medicines to fight off the ever-present diseases and maladies that are an everyday occurrence. And a new pastor will have a roof on his house. God is so good. So thank you, Pastor Case and Victory Christian Fellowship. Wait a minute, there's more. In that same church was a lady, and I don't even know who you are, who handed me an envelope with a nice-sized check. I wasn't sure what to do with these funds, but then Pastor Moisi wrote to me that the village where he was planting churches in the south of Togo were in desperate need for not only one, but three wells. We have since drilled 8 wells. Praise the Lord. He later wrote that people were urinating blood, and children and pregnant women were dying from something in the water. In the midst of all the evangelism that he's doing, Pastor Moisi was turning home one night in the bush, and he was bitten by a very poisonous snake. We were able to take some of the monies from these churches and paid for the 3 anti-venom treatments needed to save his life, over $600 for someone who makes less than $10 a month. So we want to thank all of you for that, for blessing, for helping us, and you've been a very generous congregation to us, you've been friends to us, and we want to just let you know that your blessing to us became a blessing to others, and we've been able to multiply that. I don't know about you, but I love giving away money. I do. You know, when I hear and see that people don't have water, can you imagine not having water? Not just for a day, but for a week. You know, how do you live? And over there, people are going out in the bush for days just looking for something they can drink. And then when they get it, you can't drink it. You boil it, and you could die from it. And to know, and I've got some pictures, you know, drill a well and fresh water, and people don't have to walk for 2 days with a 5-gallon bucket and slosh most of it out on the way back. One lady we heard was out for 2 days looking for water in the bush, just trying to find some water, and got bit by a poisonous snake and died on the spot. They found her 2 days later, and she had been carrying her baby on her back in one of those sling things, and the baby survived, but she died. His daughter died of a poisonous snake bite, doing the same thing, looking for water. And to be able to drill a well and put water in a village of people. And we're planting churches in those villages. And we're making the water available to everyone, Muslim or heathen or pagan or Christian. It doesn't matter. You know, God has given us, so freely you receive, freely give. And we're blessing those people with that. And you help make that possible. And I just, this is kind of like a stockholders report, you know, let you know that what you're investing in us, we're investing in other people. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is spreading all over the globe. So I want to just give you a report, bring joy to the church and glory to the Lord, to encourage you that you are making a difference. And I'm just one missionary that you support. I'm sure there are many others who could stand and give testimony of what God is doing. And so I just want you to know that we thank you. And my people in Bolivia, thank you. Those villages where we're planting churches, they're going to hear about you. And as the song says, someday You'll be walking the streets of gold, and someone you've never met, have no idea who they are, will come up and say, thank you for giving to the Lord. And I thank you. And may God bless you, Pastor.
Fantastic, fantastic. Rick, if you can put an offering plate up here. If you want to, today, as the Lord leads you, want to give towards the ministry, you can just cash or make out checks to VCF. We'll get it all towards a brother in invading the darkness. But I want to pray today for us, if we could stand together. In Acts chapter 13, where Paul had read, and what a great report, but this wasn't so much taught as caught, is that, you know, God has a plan for all of us, and he's got seasons in our life, and you could just sense with Paul and his wife that they have been very Spirit-led. They've kept an ear towards heaven, and God's been able to move them. If you keep an ear towards heaven, and you're malleable, then you're more flexible and at liberty to be led by God in different directions. And maybe that was stirred in you a little bit today. The Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to you. And this was in Acts chapter 13 where the church came together and they were praying and fasting and they were ministering to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit said, and most likely the Holy Spirit spoke through one of them that were there praying and fasting in a prophetic word. And the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit. And I want to pray for you today. You need direction from the Holy Spirit, whatever it might be. And our lives belong to God. It could be in terms of a season of service to God. It could be in terms of your job right now. It can be in terms of something for your children. You just need to hear from the Holy Spirit today is really what I'm getting at. Well, God wants to answer you today and speak into your heart. And so you need to hear, Holy Spirit, what is it that you would have me to do? Perhaps you're young and you're sensing a calling of God and God's drawing you already. Well, don't refuse the voice. Don't harden your heart. Open yourself to the Lord and the leading of God. And so wherever you might be, if that's you, you want to hear his voice this day, just come on towards the front so I can pray for you and ask God's help for you. Clear words, precise words from God. I'm in a decision time. Maybe you're lacking direction and you just need to hear from the Lord. Perhaps the enemy is hounding you and there's fear and anxiety, anger, and you need the Holy Spirit to penetrate through that. Still small voice to penetrate through that. All the noise and the hustle bustle, all the clamor of this world, the still small voice of the Spirit to speak into your heart. Lord, as we have received the report and we have gleaned the fact that you are active even when we don't know, some of us have contributed towards this ministry, or we contribute towards missions in general, and that money went out and touched people we could have never known, but you're always active on our behalf. And that's true in our own personal lives. You're always working, always active on the behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to you. And so I ask, Lord God, for those that have come down today, they need to hear your voice. Obviously, their hearts are not hardened. They need to hear your voice. Lord, speak precise, clear words. Holy Spirit, speak it in their quiet times. Speak it in a dream. Speak it in the nighttime as we may awaken. Speak it through a brother or sister. Speak it through the church, O Lord, however it would work. Just give direction, Lord, to those who need it. Lord, if there's a sense there's a new season and maybe even a bit disgruntled, maybe even discontented, and needing a season change. Lord, waiting for winter to give way to spring. Lord, let that be. Speak into the hearts of your people, O Lord. Help us, God, to have that ear towards heaven and to have ears of faith, knowing that you who spoke to Paul and Barnabas and others in the Bible, Lord, it wasn't just for them. You're still speaking. You're still the one that brings that clear word that divides between the soul and the spirit. That word that we know is from heaven. So let it be. Gracious Jesus, I just commit my brothers and sisters to you, and I thank you, Lord God, that it shall be. And even as soon as next Sunday, if you allow us to be here still, Lord, there'll be testimonies of a clear word that was given, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Hope to see some of you back for the Core Plus, 5 p.m.